Kevin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a white male submitting to a comedy festival. It's a terrible thing to be. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back, Pip.
Thank you.
On tonight's show, we play, I don't think we've done it in this incarnation of the show, God or Lover. I don't think we've done that.
Hmm. I don't think so.
So we'll play that later on. Facebook has new emojis. They've been out a couple of weeks. We'll discuss them. We'll discuss this earth-shattering development. Caitlyn Jenner tells us what we need to know about Hillary Clinton's motives. I always go to Caitlyn.
Always the go-to.
What would Caitlyn do?
Caitlyn's my chick, dude, to go to.
Now.
She's my shim. Anyway. And comics in the news. A comedy festival that charges men more to enter than women. That was not written well. Enter what? The festival.
Yes.
I really should.
Yes, the festival.
That's what I call it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is with you, my dear. It's always a party. All right. So something touched me today. Not you, Joe.
That was me. Sorry.
And it fans out to a broader way, and I'll explain. Despite all the nasty things Joe likes to say about me, it's part of the script. I actually get along pretty well with most comics.
Yeah.
I get along with most people. I'm pretty chill for the most part. There has only been two times in my life where I tried to ruin another comedian's set when they were following me.
I'm surprised that ever happened.
Well,
he apologized.
What?
He apologized. No, I'm kidding.
No, they were jerks to me.
Okay.
They were jerks. I don't start this stuff. And I've been very high energy, and the guy after me is low energy, and I will actually try to calm them down and try to listen. So I'll even help out
right.
where I can. But this was one of the times. Several years ago in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm working at this club, which I have not been back to, but you'll understand why shortly. And first night, I meet the other comic, very tall guy. He's like, listen, man, don't get upset. We're not going to hang out because, you know, I live in the area. Okay, that's fine. Second night, I do my show, and I do a joke about Senator Larry Craig from Idaho. If you remember him...
The toe-tapper?
Yeah, he snuck his leg under the bathroom stall.
Tippity-tippity-tap! Yeah.
Can you spare a square?
Yeah.
And something else?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, listen, airport's a great way to meet men. Anyway.
So, Mr. Helix.
So I had a joke about that.
Right.
Just like a brief joke. So I'm getting ready to walk off the stage. Now, at this club at the time, the ramp up where to come onto the stage makes you actually the same level as the stage. So it's not a stair. You're actually the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So he's much taller than me. He gets in my face while I'm actually in his chest.
Right.
He's like, well, I got a Senator Craig joke, and if you do that, I'm going to get you fired. I'm going to call the booker this, that, the other thing.
Over a Senator Craig joke?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I'm mortified.
Sure. Could you call right now and put him on speaker? I got to hear this.
Now, keep in mind, the host had a topic which I discussed. He's like, oh, I won't do it. I didn't know this guy had a Senator Craig joke. I didn't watch his act the night before. But the host had a similar topic to one of mine. He goes, listen, I won't do it. You know, if you don't want me to, because you have... I'm like, no, man, it's cool. I'm going after you. I'm supposed to have more stuff. You do you.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Right. That's what a professional does.
And also, yeah. Somebody, if you have a similar joke or an act that night, well, not call back to it, but you do go to the other comic and you go, look, I got this. Could you know, you don't, but you, the way he handled it, it was not right.
And
you could have called the, but why don't we just, discuss it before you threaten?
Completely threatening.
Wow.
Complete jerk. You better not do that joke for the rest of the week. So I call the agency. And I'm like, you know, what do you want me? He's like, the agency's like, just do your act. Don't worry about it. And I'd heard from other comics, that this guy was a bit of a jerk. So when I decided to go, all right, well, I'm going to be here for the week. So I can ruin a show. Comics can ruin shows. This guy fancied himself as a crowd work guy.
Right.
I think you guys will test. You guys have seen me enough. I could do some crowd work.
That's what, yeah, no, you do that very well.
I can improv with the best of
them. I think I know you fish the audience dry.
I don't give him nothing. I don't even have to necessarily fish the audience. Yeah. I can just go with stuff and incorporate it. And, you know, mm-hmm. I can do good crowd work. And this guy fancied himself the king of crowd work.
Uh-oh.
I did like 30 minutes of crowd work one night in front of him to the point where he gets up and now people are walking out on him. because, oh, this guy's a jerk. Because he was like so flustered. His crowd work, I guess, wasn't working or whatever. And he was just completely flustered and everything.
And insulting people.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But they are streaming out, telling him how much they like me better than him.
Great.
So then throughout the week, he's talking to the staff, saying all bad things about me, talking to management and everything. Again, I haven't done the Larry Craig jokes.
Right.
I wait till the last night, Saturday night, two shows. Both shows, I did the Larry Craig jokes.
Did you do the crowd work, too?
No, I didn't. I proved my point the one night with that. I can. There are ways you can. If you have enough tools, you can ruin shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isolate that.
The Norm Abrams of that.
Hold on a second. I've been able to ruin shows all on my own.
Yes.
Thank you. I don't need tools.
You're a big girl now.
So we did not talk after that.
No.
Really? Find that hard to believe.
I feel I was well within my rights to handle it the way I did, though.
Well,
because I was shaken by this.
He started by being a big jerk.
Yeah.
If he handled it in the right way, right at the beginning, there would have not have been a problem.
Yeah, if he would have come up to me, I would have thought he was lame.
Yeah.
But I would have gone, all right, man,
but
I don't need to do the joke.
It happens where you go, you know, I got sort of a similar, do you do the, you know.
I think his joke was worse and maybe even more brief than I don't even remember.
But it happens
that
it's part of the job, though, you know. So, he handled it wrong and he paid the price.
Right. So. Today I get news he, this is years ago, I haven't been back to the club. Today I get news he passed away.
Okay.
To be fair, I'm not upset. Maybe that's petty of me.
I can tell in your face, you're like, you didn't really look sad.
No, I'm not upset. You know, you feel bad for his family if he has one. But I mean, this is like a failed radio guy, so he was like, he's a bitter guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not speak ill of him. I did not like post... Ha ha, he's dead. Or like, so glad that zombie's not walking around, you know.
Not a good start to the day.
And I have heard recently, we know Antonin Scalia died, and we know Nancy Reagan died, and I have not personally seen it, but I've heard it from...
No, they trust me, they're dead.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the confirmation.
This just in, they're really gone.
So we have Joe here.
Our crack news team.
But I've heard from my conservative friends, often looking for things to kvetch about the left about, admittedly.
Yeah.
Saying that liberals are commenting about how great the Antonin Scalia is dead and Nancy Reagan. Now, listen, if you're a liberal, you don't like Antonin Scalia. Cause you might think he's a racist. You certainly don't like the decisions he's made. You certainly don't like the things he said. If you're a liberal, you're not a fan of Nancy Reagan, perhaps. But I think it's in poor taste to comment. I think it's better... to bite the lip than to comment when somebody's dead.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to show a little respect. I mean, I worked for a guy who was not the greatest guy to work for. As a matter of fact, he canceled our health insurance and didn't tell us. And we had to find out. My partner at the job I had let us know. And he wasn't the greatest guy. Now, when he passed away, I paid my respects. I didn't speak of ill will. Thank God I wasn't asked to give the eulogy, but nonetheless, you know, but no, I didn't speak ill will of him, and I went to pay my respects. When somebody passes on, I think, what's the point of pointing out their shortcomings? What's the point? It does no good.
I guess if it's a politician, you could say, well, I don't want this person to be thought of so fondly. You know, I'm going to remind everybody what this person's real record is. I guess.
Well, let me ask this. What is the moratorium on speaking of ill of the dead?
I think when you would normally throw away chicken in the refrigerator, leftovers. So about 3 days. No, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to do it at the funeral.
No, but people go
at
to
the moment of passing.
But when this world of social media, people, I guess, again, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's out there, post, tweet, go to Facebook right away. How they're happy Scully is dead or Nancy Reagan's dead.
That's not right. It's not the right thing to do. It's disrespectful. I mean, look, you know, somebody lost their life. Have some respect for the dead, okay? If there's a instance months after, years after, on a topic that they might have been involved in, and you don't feel they handled something or stood for something that you thought was right, then you could speak out. But, you know.
I think that's fair.
You know, but right off the bat, as soon as, oh, well, they didn't stand, I'm glad they're dead. No, that's wrong.
And I don't want people to think it's just a liberal thing, because I heard, again, I haven't seen it, I don't remember.
No, it's on both sides.
When Ted Kennedy died, I guess there was people on the right that I guess, you know, spoke horribly of Teddy Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't wait to pounce on him. Well, I mean, you can pounce on people when they're alive. I mean, in the moment of their passing, you don't want to start ripping out all the horrible things that you thought about them. If someone were writing an article and saying, well, now that Scalia has passed, it opens up, you know, a place in the Supreme Court. And as we know, his opinions were this, that, and the other thing, but not, oh, you know, that such and such. Or,
yeah,
you know,
well, his opinions, traditionally his opinions, we're on the right side of the aisle, so yeah. On. So, you know, you're respectful. You're doing it in a tasteful, respectful way, because if you don't, it's a bad reflection on yourself if you present it that way.
I think right. So, too. I think when you point down, it's a bad reflection. Yeah, you said it perfectly. Mm-hmm. All right, we should take our first break. We're going to come back. We're going to play some God or Lover. Don't go anywhere. You're listening for Davin's Den. Just, you know, doing what we do. Filling in. We are back. You're listening to Davin's Den. Filling in. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We're going to play a game we have not done in quite some time. We call it God or Lover. Miss Helix, could you explain what this game is?
Basically, it's we listen to a short segment of a song that is singing to either someone's lover or singing to or about God. And the idea is that you're supposed to guess which one are they speaking to, God or their lover?
Right. And so... If now we have a very short clip, but say Joe guesses, mm-hmm. then I have 10 seconds to guess.
Right.
And then I have to hit pause. So Joe likes to force the issue.
Because it's strategy. It's part of the strategy.
Sure. Yes. Joe's an eager beaver when it comes to this game.
Well, it's a little bit of strategy. If you feel strongly what the tune is about. You go. You know, it's like playing poker.
I
you know,
think
you
do
feel
it
like
just
you got
the songs are god awful.
No, if you got a good hand,
god or awful.
Now some of them are good. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm sure they're lovely. We came up with this on the road. The reason behind this game is because religious music has gotten more poppy, contemporary, mm-hmm. and country and rock has gotten more crappy. It's really been a nice meeting of the ich.
Yeah.
So
you never know.
All right. Here
you never
is,
know what you're gonna get.
Here is track one. You ready, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Before I speak a word, let me hear your voice. And in the midst of pain, let me feel your
Lover.
Joy. Ooh, I want to know you. I want to find...
I'll go Lover 2. You see, I had to stop that because Joe, you know, once again, he always has to finish first. It's not a competition.
No, you throw, if you get, you have to go with your gut feel. If your gut feels what the tune is, you throw it, and it's up to you, you know, and then you've got to go with your gut, too. That's part of the game.
Yeah, your gut's lovely. All right, what did we both say? We both said Lover?
Yes, that song was called First by Lauren Daigle, and you're both wrong. That was about God.
Damn it!
We're going to hell for not knowing that.
Hell. I might have hung in there a little longer.
Don't blame me. You're a grown man. You decide.
Am I? Can I? All right, Lola.
Am I? Really? Am I?
Am I a grown man? I'm still growing, damn it. Not in the right ways, but still growing. All right, Pip, good job. Pip stumped us both.
He's upset.
I know.
I say, goaded him into that.
I know. He hates missing these.
Nah, well, I'll edge out. I'm very confident. I'm confident in my abilities. All right, track two. You ready, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Love came crashing in. Never gonna be the same again. Yeah, you came crashing in. You wrecked me. You wrecked me. Love came crashing in. Never gonna be the same again. Yeah, you came crashing in.
Lover.
Lover.
I said lovin'. Let's McLovin.
It's McLovin.
I stink.
McLovin song.
Hey, you.
All right, relax. Nice wine. I didn't know you could make that noise.
That's a song called Feel It. By
I'd love to.
By Toby Mac. And that's about God.
She picked the most innocuous.
But you know what? I thought she dropped her hand because I heard loving in there.
Yeah, but you know Pip likes to do diversion. We've seen this in other games.
Oh, yes.
We don't like you.
What's new?
Well, now we have reason. It's just a blind date.
It's not blind date.
Oh, she's doing good tonight.
Yeah, good girl.
How is that about God? Are there more lyrics?
Oh, yeah, there's more lyrics, and then it starts going into the God part.
Because he had, like, loving, you know, not love, but love in. So it's kind of that.
You came crashing in. You wrecked me. You wrecked me or something?
Yeah, when
it was God, the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah.
He comes in with wine. God's God. What of wine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You wrecked me? God's not a wrecker. Well, in the Old Testament, he is. But, I mean, he mellowed out by the time the sequel came around.
You saved me. Well, I don't get the obvious ones.
It's a good thing you're a carpenter, Lord. You can fix the wall you run through.
I mean, he's ever gone, oh, Jesus, you wrecked me. I mean,
maybe.
I get it if you're like a suicide bomber. And, like, you get to heaven, and, like, one of the virgins is there. She happened to be there, and she goes, well, you wrecked me, but here we are. I get that, if it's a Muslim song.
If you
Muslim
listen,
song.
Well, I very carefully edit them. If there's something right before when they start singing in this, you might not hear it, or right after I cut it off.
Yeah, you're delightful. Track 3.
And I am
God.
Lover. I do want to know.
Well, that is Drops in the Ocean by Hawk Nelson. Ugh. And that's God.
Damn it!
Oh, that was too God. That was too God.
That's why I thought it was Lover.
No, you know what? I know what you're saying, and I thought of that, but I go, it's too gaudy. I'm rolling with it. That's too gaudy.
But it sucked like something you'd hear on Light FM. I'm glad how we're giving the musicians the title, and then these wonderful songs by the album.
Maybe I shouldn't say.
It's just not my thing. You can enjoy it. It's not for me. But I'm not a big God person.
There was one song that I found in all of this that I actually really enjoyed. At least
glad you didn't include that one.
No, but you know what? When I did the segment 3 years ago, there was a couple of tunes I actually kept.
Yeah.
They were okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. Track 4.
Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete.
Lover.
Just be broken.
Lover.
Okay, that is a song by Casting Crowns. And it's called Broken Together, and that is about Lover.
Thank goodness.
Yay.
Actually, that was a little bit of a twist because they are a Christian group, but the song is specifically a husband and wife singing to each other.
Look at them crossing over.
Oh, God, imagine in my house we were singing to each other. It'd be the battle hymn of the Republic.
They're singing about Broken Together. It's like, broken, we broke this, we broke that.
Joe breaks stuff on his own. He don't need a woman in there to help him.
Really?
All right, track 5.
There's a
God.
Walk with me now till we get to December.
I'll go God.
Okay. That is a song called Answer by 13 Senses. That's Lover.
Oh, stupid answer.
You know what? You want to know something? I fell for when he said a part of the water.
Yes!
And then there was a line. There was a line that he meant that it kind of alluded to Lover. And I'm like, if he's on his game, he'll pick it. And like, no, you didn't.
I'm having a bad night.
Yeah.
I want a redo. All right, here we go. Track 6.
That's a gynecologist.
Oh, I'll let you look inside.
God, a gynecologist. What is
speculum? Is it about a gynecological visit?
It is. I sing that when I go to
God,
the doctor.
Lover, or medical? Yeah. Try that again. I jumped the gun.
Put it in the warmer. Never mind.
I don't want to know what that's code for. Mm. All right, try that again.
I'll let you look inside me through the stains and through the cracks, and in the
God.
Darkness of this moment, you see the good in me.
Lover.
Okay. That is Thompson Square, a song called Glass, and that one is Lover.
Yeah! Now we're telling. And we're going down to the final one.
That's it.
Yeah, Thompson Square.
God.
All right, I'm going to go for the win here. I'm going to go Lover. The safe play was to go God and take the draw, but I want there to be a winner.
Okay. This song is by Chris Tomlin. It's called Waterfall. And it's God.
Yeah! Stupid God ruining my game. God. Congratulations, Joe. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in when we come back. Oh, Facebook's new emojis. Don't go anywhere. We're back. Davin said, thank you guys for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. So, as everybody knows, well, not everybody, most people know, Facebook released some new reactions. It's more than just like now. So there's five additional animated emoji, which people can express themselves. Each emotive icon is named for the reaction it's meant to convey. So in addition to the like, we now have love. Ha-ha! Why not go LOL? Why ha-ha? Wow, sad, and angry. So it said nearly 70% of the meanings derived from spoken language come from nonverbal cues, like body language or middle fingers. No, it doesn't say that. or facial expressions. This comes from Vivian Evans, a professor of linguistics at Bangor, barely knew her, university, who studies the use of emoji communication. To fully capture the complexity of human emotion, Facebook would need to include 20 to 25 different emojis. But, you know, they would have to convey everything from fear and desire to relief. But let's be honest, nobody wants to click through 25 emotions.
And you have the opportunity to put all of those and more on when you're doing your own post. Because they have this little feeling this or...
Right, no, this is in reaction
to
other people. And by the way, I hate when people like their own posts. We get it. You wrote it. Of course you like it, stupid. I hate that.
I hate that,
It's like, I'm just going to do this to get the ball rolling so people know what to do. Sometimes it's like the tip jar with the bartender. They put their own couple bucks in there so people get the idea.
Yeah, don't even bother putting a 10 in there. We know that's from your mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
That is a pet peeve of mine. I like what I just wrote. Do ya?
I know. No, it really annoys me too. Yeah. It's like laughing at your own joke.
Yes.
Too much.
Yes.
You know?
Are you a self liker?
By
I know how we feel about you. But.
By accident, which I'll catch it. I'm like, oops, yeah, because I'm like, oops, stupid, and because of that thought, yeah, no, I will.
Okay, good.
No, I'm not going to. If I wrote it, I like it. I don't need to go, I like what I said. Of course you did, stupid. You wrote it.
Yeah, thank you. All right, we're all in agreement with that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I have an acquaintance that likes everything that he puts up and is like, ew, stop.
So
that.
I think what we're all saying is if you're one of those people, find a tree and drive into it. I'll move on.
You get an emoji for that.
Yeah. Just see a tree and a red car.
the eyes are little X's.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I think angry would have done, but this says it better.
Tree roots and X eyes.
So the team took a subset of reactions that cut across the emotional spectrum and removed redundancies like sympathy and sadness and joy and love. They tested it with users. Reactions need to fulfill two main criteria. Universality. All right, we'll go with your work. God damn, my tongue doesn't want to work tonight. Going to be a bad night for the missus. Huddle. Anyway, and expressivity. Looking at past Facebook's altruistic narrative about an expanded emotional palette, it's really just a bit to increase engagement, which will ultimately make your news feeds and ads even more personalized. So really, that's why they're doing it. They don't really care how you think.
No, they don't care what we feel either.
Yeah.
Are you glad they did it?
Yes.
Really? You're very excited about this.
I am. Because, you know what? Sometimes it was really awkward because someone would post something. If you like somebody's post, if you just click on like, it's sort of a way of checking in with somebody saying, I saw it, you know, hey.
Well, you know what also checks in? They have something where because they seen by. That also works.
Well, you know what? But that people could just scroll on by and all of a sudden, you've seen it.
You need that confirmation.
I know I need to show the person, like, hey, I saw that, I liked it. But sometimes you really like it, so you want to say I love it. Or sometimes...
Just put a splash.
Or
I like
or but sometimes they're saying something like, you know, this is the anniversary of my, you know, my mom's passing or something. You don't want to go like.
But people do. Always awkward.
Well, so, but yes. Like sometimes what happens is if like, you have something like that under it and the, your buddy on top of it has a joke and sometimes you just notice how the post is close. You ever put LOL in by accident and catch it really quick? Like, my mom just died. LOL. Yeah. It's like, uh-oh.
Such a kidder.
Yes, yeah, spaz.
Well, what did you write that? I put loss of life.
Lots of love.
Lots of love.
I don't really care one way or the other. I am not using the expand. I am still just liking what I like. I have not crossed over. I am set in my old ways like a fuddy-duddy.
I haven't used it because I looked at it. I'm like, what's all this about? You know, and I'm like,
I don't have time to investigate this.
I don't have time. I'm going to talk politics.
But, where's that meme I need to post?
Where's that meme?
And then I have to go to it and I have to put angry.
Yes. I'm going to change hearts and minds with this meme. I don't have time to figure out what the smiley face is and the angry face.
I love them.
You love it. You're a big fan of it.
I've been using them like crazy.
I wish they would have added dislike.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
But you know what? The other ones give you a reason to explain why you dislike. They makes you angry. You're like, wow.
You know what else explains why you dislike? Text. You could write.
But, you could make a comment.
All right. Well, so your Pip's happy. Joe and I really don't care.
There you go.
That sums it up. Listen to Davin's Den. When we come back, Caitlyn Jenner is going to tell you what she thinks about Hillary. Don't go anywhere. Back, Davin's Den, filling in for Caitlin. Not really. I don't know if Caitlin. No, I'm not going to say if Caitlin
needs to
be filled. Don't,
anyway, no, right.
Caitlin, Jenner, who used to be Bruce Jenner until grew boobs. That's basically. but is a conservative. Yeah. You know, he leans conservative
politically.
Yes. Yeah. Personally, very good point.
Stating the obvious.
Yes. He claimed Hillary Clinton was not for women's issues and is all about herself. Also claimed all the Republicans will be good on LGBT issues and said the Republicans only care about the economy. All right, a lot to get to here. But the first, right off the bat, we got to go to Joe on this because this is the type of question I like to ask Joe. Joe, I know you hate Hillary.
Most, yes.
You said you would prefer ISIS over Hillary. Yeah. I believe you.
At least they show emotion.
They do.
Are you on the fence?
I hate the way she talks.
All right. So listen, pay attention to the sign language person next to her.
On the fence there, Joe.
Yeah. Joe, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, right.
So we know you do not like Hillary. I don't think you're a big fan of Bruce Lynn Jendashian.
I don't. That he made the change to a woman, I could care less. It has no.
Well, I'm talking about the whole package, not his whole package, but the whole package that is Bruce Lynn Jendashian now.
I think I don't like it because he made a spectacle of it. Right. You know what I'm saying? If it was a personal decision of his, and he, you know, would people respect my privacy? This is a decision I made that I've always felt about. But he's making a spectacle out of it. And that's the thing I don't like. It just seems that, you know, I think the transgender community is having a problem with that because I don't know if he's being public to educate more than promote. Do you know
what
I'm saying?
Well, I don't want to get into all that right now. I do want to know who you detest more. That's really what I care about.
Hillary Clinton, without a doubt.
All right, relax. How dare I ask such a foolish question?
Because you know, Caitlyn Jenner is just trying to live his life.
Yeah, well, really.
And Hillary Clinton, me personally, I think is only out for herself and is a very disingenuous person. My opinion, you know.
All right, so am I wrong in saying that Caitlyn is the last one to be commenting on who does what for women's issues, considering, among other things, his stepdaughter, which he raised, is constantly posing naked in selfies to gain attention?
I don't think that that has any bearing.
Yeah, I think it kind of does. Because I think
because he just joined the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if your stepdaughter is known for a sex video and constantly posting naked videos and pretty much known as a hoe, I think it kind of does. I think there's other women issues that you need to be attending to before you start speaking for any community.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's what she's saying at all, is that she's attending to saying anything about it. I mean, for one thing, if she wants to pose naked and she wants to be in videos, you know, sex videos, look, everybody has the opportunity to turn the dial and walk away from it.
Right, but that's fine. But clearly nobody in that family has really had a platform of positive female issues.
No, but she is speaking for herself. However,
well,
misguided she is.
She's speaking about Hillary. Who is she? I mean, shouldn't Hillary, shouldn't Caitlyn at least get the wiener removed before we start talking about women's issues?
No, because you asked my opinion of Hillary, and she has his opinion, or her opinion.
Oh, my God.
Of Hillary.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
Pronouns too, everybody.
But whatever it is passing judgment.
I'm passing judgment too, and I'm a male Republican.
But you're not talking about women's issues, and you're not out there constantly parading your whole family on TV for over a decade and have the temerity to say, oh, they're only in it for themselves.
But that's his feeling on women's issues. It's not. You're not saying it's wrong. His feeling on women's issues is wrong. You're saying, does he have the right? If he has a right to speak out how he feels on women's issues.
I think she makes herself look like a bigger joke.
Well, I think that it's really misguided once somebody has just entered the world as a woman to all of a sudden try to be the pronouncement of, I know everything about women's issues. You have some learning to do.
I think the nuts have to drop off before you can really talk about women's issues.
I don't think it has anything
to do with it.
No. It doesn't have anything to do with what parts you still have
transgender. So wait a minute. If I wake up one morning and I feel pretty that day, can I talk about women's issues?
You get the floor.
No, I think it's different between you as a cis male deciding that you want to talk about being pretty and a transgendered woman talking about
it. But they're not transgender. They just grew boobs.
She's brand new.
She's not transgender.
She's brand new.
Yeah, shut up, Bruce Lynn.
She's not talking for me.
She's not transgendered yet. Finish the deal. Finish the deal. Just got boobs. Men like boobs. He did everything we want to do. Don't go anywhere.
Jesus.
Cinderblock Comedy Festival. When we come back, you're listening to Davin's Den. Back, Davin's Den, filling in. Last seg. Man, I don't know why I'm talking. I'm like, I'm stoned. Stupid.
I know why.
Why? Well, Joe brought the good stuff. Anyway. So the Cinder Block. Get the right vowel or you'll start a problem. The Cinder Block Comedy Festival in New York City features female comics and LGBTQ. What is Q?
Queer.
Oh. Isn't lesbian, gay, and bi, trans? Isn't that with? Why do we have to add the Q? It's a little redundant.
It doesn't encompass everything, according to some people.
What?
It doesn't.
Well, if it was TBQ, I'd understand, but it's BTQ. I have no idea. All right, I think it's a little redundant, but we get it. You like the stuff. Yeah, they like the stuff that you have. I get it.
Well, I guess it's VV, and they put the Q in there. It's like, well, we feel we're queer. Well, we're all inclusive. We'll put a Q on there.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
well,
it's not
like
a problem.
A
come on, bring that little thing you got hanging off there. Everybody's welcome.
It's a catch-all for other stuff.
I don't want anything that's a catch-all. All right. And comedians of color who submit their act. So basically, you got female comics, LGBTQ comics, and comedians of color. Joe, you're translucent. Who submit their act before March 15th will pay only 77 cents for every dollar of the regular submission fee. Festival director Corey Spencer told the Daily Dot, I don't think that's an Indian thing, but it is a page of color, that she chose to tweak the submission pricing to try and send an inviting message to minority comedians who have experienced being, quote, the token comic. I want to prove that we're token, but we shouldn't be. We deserve our own shows, and they don't need to be called Sexy Latina Night or something. We don't need any themed comedian shows, Spencer said. It's going to be a diverse comedy festival, yes, but they should all be. During the festival's early submission period, the $25 fee will be cranked down to $19.25. after the period ends. Festival submissions will be open to all comedians with the $25 fee applied to all entries. She says the 77 cents to the dollar is definitely a political statement. Originally, that $77 discount was supposed to be just for percentage. It was supposed to be for women in the early stages, Spencer said. As I was doing a little more research and kind of growing as a human being, I realized that that discount should be extended out to other groups that I want to be part of in order to create the festival that I want. Though she enjoys the camaraderie of comedy festivals, Spencer said doesn't take well to being the only female comic in a sea of men. She said she realized that festival bookers build their preferred lineups first and then insert women, LGBTQ people, and other people of color as an afterthought. All right. Was a festival that makes it more expensive for white guys necessary? Was that necessary?
They could do what they want on that. What I find interesting is that they're saying, well, we always have a theme night with token comics. I don't like that. We're not going to do it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go public and make a total token theme show out of it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's not like it just seems that she's making it as much of a theme night or a theme festival as she's complaining a club would.
You know what? I kind of see where you're going.
You know
with
what
that.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if they went out and said, "Well, we feel that in certain circles we're not as popular, or whatever, and we feel that white male comics need to pay a little bit more," I would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems that to speak against the theme night, or you know, to that effect, and have a festival theme that way, is kind of hypocritical from the basic meaning of it, you know?
I'll tell you right now, this is discrimination.
Because
if I put together a festival and said white male guys are going to pay 77% less than everybody else, you know the bloody murder there would be? And this whole notion that female comics are not are discriminated, maybe, but you know what? Here's the real deal with female comics. First of all, there's not a ton of good ones. There's not a ton of good
and
ones.
And they do get a pass more than the guys. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
Here's the thing. If you're, quote, one of these token things, especially, I'm going to talk about females. If you're a decent female, you immediately start working. Whereas if somebody of that same ability would maybe be a host, you get moved up to feature.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, because you're a decent female. By the time you're a strong female, they want to be headliners, where they would really still be features. And everything. And by the time they're headliners and you want to hire them as headliners, you can't afford them anymore.
Right.
Because if a female is decent, they have a much quicker path to success than being a white male.
And also with the transgender, there is a transgender comic that works. I've worked with her several times. Very, very, very sweet person. Okay, she doesn't come in and make an issue. She's transgender. She comes in as a female, and you know, we all know what it is. But
I bet it goes in the credits, though. Does it go in the credits?
No, it does not.
Good.
No, it does not. And very respectful. She's very funny, and she doesn't bang the drum. She's transsexual. She just wanted to change her life and be a woman, and she doesn't make a deal of it.
And as long as they bring the funny, who cares?
Yeah, and she does. She does she's very, very good. So you don't sit there and go, she's a transgender, and she's and we have to listen. She goes on as a female comic that's very, very funny.
Yeah. You don't have to make everything about your particular one issue, you know? I mean, there are people that, you know, they use whatever it is because, you know, if you want the audience to, relate to you and they see, you know, if they see you're Italian, you know, you don't have to bring it up, but you might choose to. If they see you're female, you know, well, it's part of your life. You're going to bring it up.
And like I said,
you don't have to.
She's doing this for publicity.
Of course she is, because don't sit there and go, well, we're lesbian and transgender. We get to be made to feel like a spectacle, and then have a show yourself that's making it a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's hypocritical.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. I don't think that there should be any reason why they have to change the amount that people pay.
Listen, there are some clubs that don't want female comics. I get that. But that's really not in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
If you're funny, you get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
If you're funny and attractive, you get a big deal. It's just the reality. And I'm not saying don't cry. I'm not saying cry for me because I'm a white male comic and I got it so hard. I'm not saying that.
No.
But let's stop the sob story. If you want to be a respected comedian, bring it on stage.
Yeah.
I'm looking to hire funny female comics. I just can't find a lot of them. When I find them, I hire them and I'm happy to hire them.
Yeah.
And I don't care how many of them are on the show. You know, if I got 20 female comics that are awesome, I'm happy to put whole shows together of female comics that are awesome. Hmm. All right. I will be performing. I have a comedy show. It's not a theme show. On March 24th in Newburgh, New York at the River Grill. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. Saturday, March 26th, I'll be in New London, Connecticut at a Congregation Bethel. Not Bethel Woods, Bethel. For tickets, 860-442-0418. Thank you, guys, for hanging out. As always, go to davinsden.com. Hear the whole show uncensored. Follow us on Facebook, Davinsden. Follow us on Twitter, at Davinsden. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.